You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Second hour, Friday edition, Robbie and Rex, show 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehab membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie and Rex show, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Get thicker grass, better color, and fewer bare spots with turf application. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We continue on with our friend Teresa Walker, the great Teresa Walker, who is retiring from the Associated Press in October. After starting there in 1989, we've had a great first hour. A lot of reminiscing. We're going to do more reminiscing. We have more questions to that effect. But, Teresa, I do – well, hold on. Actually, since we're, like, just sort of, like, evaluating people, you know, best interview, greatest people you cover, worst people. Where do you come down on Big Joe?
Oh, Big Joe is –
Don't hold back.
Big Joe is affable, fun. He's tall. I can always get in front of – when Joe's carrying a camera, I can always get right in front of him. Him or Bob Cusack at Channel 5. So, you know, love Joe. I mean, but does he always wear the same pink shirt or pink tie? I mean, it seems to be a combo. You know, it's like, are those the only things in his shirt?
Is that the pink tie you're talking about on that poster?
Yes, and if it's not that, it's a pink shirt that he's got.
You pick a tie you like and you go with it. You know, yesterday he compared two days ago he compared – the Tennessee
Arian Carter.
The Arian Carter situation to Pete Rose. So I just like to throw that out there. Pete Rose broke a rule. Arian Carter broke a rule, and no difference. I mean, Charles Manson broke a rule, and Arian Carter broke. I mean, tell me the difference. I don't know. No. I just had to rip Big Joe for a minute.
Well, I did want to call in yesterday because he was talking to Jeff Fisher and mentioned the Albert Haynesworth bringing a pole back to practice after being kicked out. That was at UT, Joe, not with the Titans. At the Titans, Albert kicked Justin Hartwig in the chest during a practice. Got a little heated, but that was a camp practice that was fun. But yeah,
So Big Joe's getting a little bit mixed up here.
Well, the older we get, thank God for media guides and quick internet.
And the internet. Yeah, that's right. Not the dial-up that we used to have to deal with. George on the YouTube, we're going to hit all the the top teams that you cover. And by the way, for people who don't know, you have covered, like, you covered the Grizzlies a lot. You go to Memphis a lot. You have had a lot of help east with freelancers or people who have covered, like, Tennessee games for you, and
since 92. So, yeah, I was there when think about this. The Grizzlies had Jerry West and Hubie Brown. Hubie Brown won an NBA Coach of the Year with the Grizzlies.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yes, and then they set a then NBA record losing their first 12 playoff games. But, yes, the seven-year stretch of playoffs with the grit and grind era, I was there for every game.
Yeah, a great era. And, like, again, I was with you. I thought we'd be talking about a different thing right now based on the early days of John Morant. George in the YouTube chat does want to know your thoughts on the Vrabel-Russini thing.
It's disappointing as a female in sports because avoiding that perception has been one of my goals. And if you're a female in sports media, you try an effort to avoid those kind of things because reputation is everything. And I have sources. And,
Does there have to be an implication every time a woman in journalism gets information?
Yes. There are many of us in sports media, and we have our sources, and we get information. And, I'll just say this. I've never been on a girls' trip where I couldn't have photographic proof, and my girls have my back immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, very disappointing on all fronts there. So – speaking of disappointing, that there's a great segue. The Tennessee Titans have been disappointing for a while now, Teresa.
Yeah.
You've been at camp here the last couple of days. Robert Saleh, Mike Borgonzi here with two drafts under his belt, two off seasons under his belt. Robert Saleh in, I would say, objectively, you know, this looks like an improved coaching staff from the last one. Again, a big pet peeve of mine is the last guys were idiots. These guys are amazing. But what are your thoughts right now on this franchise and where they stand? Are they going to stop being around the bottom of the NFL anytime soon?
I think they have a chance this year to do something. And when I say do something, a winning record is not out of the range. You know, John Franklin Myers said yesterday, there's no such thing as a rebuild in the NFL. You know, we're all 0-0. Exactly. And let's not forget, most money spent in free agency this year. Okay, we saw that a couple years ago with Rand. It didn't work. But, you know, the people that they brought in, I mean, John Franklin Myers, yeah, they trade for Jermaine Johnson. They bring in Alante Taylor, a guy that I liked in college, and he was at the top of my secondary buy list as a free agent, Cordell Flott. I mean, it's just the moves that they've made, getting Cam Ward help on offense, particularly in the draft. I like Carnell Tate, and you know the way he approaches going up and getting balls, securing it with both hands. I like that kid. So, you know, Brian Daboll, he knows what he's doing, and he has worked with young quarterbacks before. Cam Ward is a hard worker. So if it's adults in the room, and there is a difference over there. You can feel it. They're louder. They seem more intentional. And although it was fun, Cam Ward on Wednesday dropped a reference to a Brian Callahan thing, sin, self-inflicted negatives kind of thing, right? So, you know, there is feed over, but
Brian Callahan's legacy lives on.
Hey, Cam Ward did not diss him. He's like, they still have jobs in the NFL. You know, Brian Callahan, isn't he with the Jets right now? So, Giants, excuse me, the other New York team. So, but that's the thing. It's different over there. So, if you're halfway decent, you should have 6 wins. In a 17-game season, you should have 6 wins. They've got 2 home games to start the season for the first time since 2010. You know, and we saw a team that went from 2 wins to the Super Bowl in February. So this is the NFL. It's designed. Pete Rozelle's dream is teams that make good decisions can be rewarded quickly. So if this defense leads the way, winning record, I do think, is possible for this team, and I won't be surprised at anything else they do. If they're playing the first weekend of the playoffs, not surprised.
Okay, this is the most optimistic take on the Tennessee Titans of 2026 I've heard.
I know, and maybe part of it is just the last four seasons have been draining.
You're speaking it into existence.
I am trying to.
Well, so I did want to ask you, you mentioned louder. We just talked about the Vrabster there and the Vrabel special with a different meaning now. As you know, Teresa.
Ba-dum-bum.
Thank you. As you know, the atmosphere in the practice field when Vrabel is coach, first of all, the most creative use of the F-bomb ever and frequent and creative. He was good. Obviously, he's a good coach. He had control out there, and he's sort of always firing off, you know, one-liners and there was no question. How would you compare Robert Saleh's presence on the practice field to that? Because there's some obvious comparison with those two guys.
Saleh seems to have been on the practice field a little quieter. I mean, maybe it's because I'm watching the offense a little. Now, defense, they've got some loud guys over there. Aaron Whitecotton, I do get flashbacks to Jim Washburn, who coached many great defenders for the Tennessee Titans. But Saleh is a little bit quieter, but you know, he's had some moments. He drops a few blue words, and yesterday he totally stunned the Jets media. I tweeted out, you know, Stillman asked, apparently Fireman Ed said on a podcast they
who
were
the hell is
them.
Fireman Ed? What is Stilly talking about? Who's Fireman Ed?
Fireman Ed, he's the guy with
famous Jets fan.
Yeah, the J-E-T-S Jets chant, and he wears that fireman hat.
Okay.
You cover Sports Joe.
Well, yeah, sort of.
Kind of?
He came up with the Jets chant, the J-E-T-S chant?
That part I don't know. He's just a famous. He's one of those famous fans, and okay. He said on a podcast,
"Fireman Ed." Okay.
Yeah. Apparently, okay. Saleh told some fan this summer that they were going to beat the out of the Jets.
Yeah, still it beat their ass. Still, he likes to ask questions with the word "ass" in them. Yes.
Yeah, and he asked Cam Ward about that on Wednesday. So, but He answered that, and I shot video.
That was a good answer. I liked his answer.
It was a great answer, and I tweeted that out, and my colleague at the Jets shared it out, and the Jets beat. People are like, he said that? So apparently there is a bit of a change in Robert Saleh, but you know, it's all fun and games until the games count, and we'll see. Then we'll see when the rubber hits the road.
Yeah. So are you willing to go on the record and say the Titans are going to have a winning record this year?
Yes.
Give me your record prediction.
I think 9-7.
9-8.
Nine and eight.
9-8. Wow. Okay. Put Teresa Walker down.
Love
9-8. Hey, you know what? Listen, it does happen. Like my first year here, 10 years ago, and you were very kind taking me in. By the way, unlike you know, some people like PK, but
I'm nice.
Yeah, I know you are. Unlike him, but they were terrible. They had won 5 games the previous 2 years. No one picked them to do anything. They go 9-7. They should have won the division. And if Mariota didn't break his leg at Jacksonville, they might have won the division. So it does happen in this league. It's just, it's hard to, it, like, it's for me, I'm worried about this O-line.
There's massive questions
and
there.
And if it's bad again, it's just.
Yeah, Cam Ward was sacked 55 times last year. Cannot happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it hasn't looked great, so I understand it's early with no pads and all that, but. There's concerns.
There's massive concerns. And, I mean, if we end up with a Jackson Slater at right guard, we'll not be surprised. But one thing I know is that there's a lot of time between now and the start of the season, September 13th against the Jets. And the 3 joint practices, that's when we'll know for sure what this team might be.
All right, we have Dylan Anak calls you Hot Take Teresa. There we go. Adam in Portland says, Fireman Ed is the Adam from Portland of the Jets. Okay, now I have a little bit better feel. Thank you. I'm sorry I didn't know Fireman Ed. I'm so sorry. People are ripping me in the YouTube chat too. People from Vancouver, Canada actually know who Fireman Ed is. Okay, I didn't. Who would be the Titans? I mean, we love you, Adam from Portland. I don't know if you would be this. Who would be the Titans Fireman Ed?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, if you said that about the Predators, I'd know immediately the Predsican. But when it
the Predsican, right?
Yeah, yep, but when it comes to the Titans,
I mean, there's some great super fans.
Yes, dedicated fans. Because I mean, unlike
Tic Tac Titans,
no.
Are you also not a fan of Tic Tac Titans? I just love saying that. I don't know why.
That would be correct.
Let loose on them. You're retiring. Let loose.
I blocked this account because like I don't have time for folks who don't do. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm old school and I am.
Yes.
But do the grind. Don't just have hot takes on the internet. Go to practice. Actually talk to the players.
He lives in some other state, right?
I know. And it's like some of us are here actually doing the legwork to find out what's going on and talk to these people. It's called old school reporting. Yes.
Have some of that, Triple T. Okay, when we come back, we will continue the time, but I also want to get into the other teams too and where things are in Nashville with the great Teresa Walker. Robbie and Rexo, 102.5 The Game. There we go. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexo, 102.5 The Game. Teresa Walker vibing to some Duran Duran. For you kids out there looking to some Duran Duran. This is from Rio, I think. Yeah, I'm Rio.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah, maybe, I think. I got a texter who says, Chad says, we need Teresa ripping media clowns like plants need sun. we're open to more of it, too, by the way. I mean, we haven't even gotten to our PK bashing segment, so, you know, that'll be – we got TD coming up later.
Love TD.
Yeah, so
not as much as my husband.
Everybody
loves
likes
TD.
Yeah, your husband loves TD.
He'll say, "I'm on the verticals. I'm reading what TD's done," and it's like, "Baby, I wrote the same thing." It's like, "Hello."
What about my story? Huh?
I know. My son actually follows me better on social than my husband. My husband has to look at my socials to get on social because he doesn't do social.
Good
but
for him.
He goes peeps and stuff. I had to sit down with him to go through all the wonderful things people have been saying about me the last couple of days.
Yeah, and you've got a lot of admirers.
And I say thank you to everyone. You like me. You really like me.
We got some submissions on the first of all, I mean, Mitch Light is texting like, you don't know Fireman Ed? Dude, Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know Fireman Ed. He says, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. I will familiarize myself. I mean, yes, I've seen the guy. Okay, fine. I've seen the guy with the fireman hat.
He's from Michigan.
I mean, my famous, you know, I think of Fire Marshal Bill, you know. But Fireman Ed, yeah, there you go. But people have submitted. So Mitchell Firkins, Jess, and someone else on the text line says Mitch Firkins. Someone's talking Chili Pepper. As the Titans.
Sorry, I didn't think of that one.
Someone dressing up as Macho Man, if you go to the games, someone said that too, as far as who would be like the Titans version of Fireman.
And there's somebody who dresses as Elvis usually.
Yeah. So we get some good regulars. I mean, to me, of that realm, I think the greatest would be like the Hogs. Remember? Or like the Hoggettes.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Back at
old RFK Stadium. I mean, that was pretty sweet.
It was.
Yeah.
But you're bringing up painful memories because I remember the Hogs and John Riggins running over a team I once supported in Dan Marino and the Dolphins in a Super Bowl.
Now, I will correct you. Dan Marino's a rookie the next year.
Oh, that was
Don Strock.
No, it was. I don't think it was Don Strock.
Was it David Woodley?
David Woodley, yes.
So I think they both were on that. They were both were on
I've
that
slept
team.
Since then, yeah.
I don't remember. They both might have played in the Super Bowl. I don't know. But, yes. And you know what else happened that night?
What?
That was, you know how sometimes with after Super Bowls there'd be like a, you know, like the one year like Friends had the episode with like Julia Roberts, or that was the worldwide debut of the A-Team after that Super Bowl, which I was allowed to stay up to watch. Yes, so there we go. I mean, we can just talk about the 80s the rest of the show if you want.
You weren't allowed to stay up then? Okay. I am older than you, aren't I?
Yeah, a little bit. Adam in Portland says the Fireman Ed thing is as bad as Skiatika. No, it is not as bad as Skiatika. I said Skiatika on the air, and I was mocked nationally for this, okay? That is not as bad as not knowing Fireman Ed, but I apologize for not knowing Fireman Ed. Who would be the Preds? Thank you. Who would be the Preds version?
Predzikin,
yes. How about the Preds? The Preds right now, new regime, you covered – all one, really, one family, one. And it's incredible to have that kind of continuity in a professional sports organization. It really is. It's something to admire and appreciate. Also, it was time.
It was time.
Where do you think things are right now for this team? But also, and we're going to look more ahead next hour, but what state of the Preds for you right now?
Rebuilding. And I'm really curious, you know, Chris McFarland says, yes, we're going to keep Andrew Burnett, and, you know, because I need to evaluate. And it's smart. You know, he's brought in so many people around him in the front office. He's, you know, traded for, you know, Colton from the Avs, brought in Maverick Bourque and got him in a contract extension. And it still feels like there's more moves to be made, but that those may end up coming near the trade deadline. But I think the next thing is, how does this team start in October with 10 home games? If they start badly yet again, that does not bode well for Bruno. So you know, right now it's still in a state of flux, but Chris McFarland has had a lot of success and in places, and it just feels like, you know, everybody wanted somebody outside the family. Well, they did, and now we don't, you know, it's a new team, so we can't look at what he did and say this is how it's going to be, but it just feels like it they're going in a new direction, because no, I love Barry Trotz, but it felt like he was trying to do what David Poyle did, squeeze, hold on, try to make tweaks to get, you know, big contracts, get that back on track, and it just hasn't helped, and it's just stayed more in the ditch.
Yeah. I mean, you know, look, we celebrated the signings of a couple of years ago, and it hasn't worked out, and I think the Soros deal
not good.
Is yeah I do want real quick, John in Nashville points out, this guy is awesome, the goal Moses, let my people goal. I
that
mean, for Nashville SC, that is
that's may
a special
be the,
kind of super fan right there.
That when they debuted that was awesome.
Yeah that's very good. Would you, Alex Doherty the Tennessean recently wrote, we've talked about it a few times, would you entertain trading Roman Josi,
knowing what trading Shea Weber ended up leading to? I might say yes, depending on what the package is. But, I mean,
it's not a non-starter for you.
No, it's not a non-starter because, I mean, as much as, you know, everyone in Nashville absolutely loves Roman Josi, and we just saw him be the captain of Switzerland in the Olympics in Italy, the problem is it's about what can you do to get this team better. But it's like, whatever's going out with Roman Josi, you better bring somebody in who can play defense, because that's still a big, big issue for this franchise right now. I mean, you can pencil him in. You know what you've got in Roman Josi. Who else is playing around him? And,
and he's also getting older. And
if trading him helps fix the defense overall, then I'm in.
Or, but maybe, if, I think you're stepping back if you do that, right? If you were to trade any of these core older guys, then you're really signaling this team is probably not going to be competitive. Sometimes you have to have in this league, and it doesn't have to be the massive step backs. So you can try to be the top of the draft like some Preds fans have wanted, but like sometimes you just have to. Right, you have to do that. But if you get prospects back that in a couple of years with Brady Martin are going to, and these young guys that they're hopeful for, all of a sudden you might have an actual core, an actual young core, like they did 10 years ago when Josi and all those guys, and they're starting to win playoff series, and you've got the best D core in the league back then.
That was then, this is now.
Yes.
So that's why Roman Josi, if there's somebody that comes knocking, you absolutely listen.
All right, Nate in Columbia on the line to talk to Teresa. Nate, what's up?
What's up, y'all? I know Teresa isn't officially retired yet. She's going through the end of the Titans season. But I got a couple questions. So, one, if y'all have answered this, I'll go back and listen later today. But, one, what was your favorite, interaction with Mike Vrabel? And two, this question might be best for after you officially retire, but so far, what has been your favorite Tennessee coverage moment or, something all together? Y'all have a great day.
All right, thanks, Nate. And actually, I'll let you think about those. We'll come back for those answers and get into the college sports scene in Tennessee with Teresa Walker on Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5 The Game. Ian keeps it going here for Teresa. You're winning every time. Hey, keep up with Titans training camp with 102.5 The Game for the latest updates, player interviews, and more as you get prepped for the upcoming Titans season. Coverage of Titans training camp is presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants, Parman Tractor and Equipment, and Tri-State Water, Power, and Air. Twin Peaks Restaurant, home of the 29 Degree Beer, and we will get back into the Titans soon. We have TD, as always, at 8 o'clock, the top of the hour. I need you to – I was like, I know that there was something before we get into Tennessee and Vanderbilt. Nate's questions there. Your favorite interaction with Vrabel?
Well, aside from the fact that he's the reason why I get the first question when I go pretty much anywhere now in Nashville. So I do thank Mike Vrabel for that. But Super Bowl in L.A., which, yes, we know, the Titans should have been there if not for Cincinnati. But I'm on the, before the NFL honors, and I know that he's going to be our, the AP NFL Coach of the Year. And I wanted to ask about the contract situation. And there's a reporter from, with a TV camera beside me, I don't know what outlet, and she starts answering a question, and he goes, no. Back in Nashville, Teresa gets the first question, and I got to ask the question. And I asked about the contract and everything, but that was really, really nice. And I forget the second part of Nate's question.
I think it was it favorite interview? I don't remember. Ian, do you remember?
I'm sorry, what?
What was Nate's second question?
Oh, something about – it was about Tennessee. Was it your favorite – Tennessee moment, something like that.
Yeah, maybe like if there's a moment. I
assume he was talking about college.
Another question that I haven't gotten to because we've just been ripping. We've been we could take 5 hours today, but the biggest stories.
Joe, I could take a week.
Yeah, the biggest stories. Obviously, the things that come to mind. The Preds Cup run, but
2017,
saving the Preds,
2007,
the McNair tragedy, and what anything else that comes to mind in terms of beyond sort of covering sports, but like a bigger story that part of your career.
Well, Music City Miracle, because about it, they were they'd had a 13-3 season, but they were seconds away from their season being done, and that play happens and launches them to their only Super Bowl run. And that was the energy in Nashville was unbelievable, and it's still one of the top 5 plays in a century of the NFL. The whole 2007 with the Preds, oh, they're going to be sold. They're, you know, keep your hands off my team. I think that was Jeremy Gover's sign.
Gover.
Yeah, and then they keep the team. But 2017, walking out before game 3 and hustling back to the arena because the crush on Broadway was just amazing. It felt like lemmings in little boxes, and it's just packed people. So that was just stunning. The McNair, I was next to a pool in Fort Walton in 09 on July 4th, and my mother-in-law says, comes and tells me, I was just talking to somebody, they're saying in Nashville that Steve McNair and his wife are dead. So I go upstairs and I call our office and started, we packed up the condo and I was back in 3:30 the next morning in the office by 8, talking with bus cook by 8:30 the next day. And it was just, you're in sports for the good stories. That one was just a gut punch.
Yeah, terrible, terrible story. Nate has texted, and his question is your favorite. So your favorite of all, just coverage moment in the state of Tennessee.
Music City Miracle.
Okay, yeah, there you go. Vols, Vandy, Teresa. So first of all, Josh Heupel and Tennessee. Josh Heupel stabilized the program after a long period of dysfunction.
Decade.
Yeah.
I going back to the Fulmer days, maybe close to 15 years.
So where are you on Josh Heupel right now and this season ahead for Tennessee?
I think that he made the corrections that he needed to make after last year. And for all the people saying he's got a system, he has shown the ability to change and adapt. And bringing in Jim Knowles as defensive coordinator, bringing in Indiana's, strength and conditioning coach. We're seeing the reports about how they're faster, leaner, this, that, and the other. So, everyone's saying, oh, he's on the hot seat. Well, let's just see. I mean, thanks to the transfer portal and NIL, I mean, my God, Indiana's the reigning national champ right now. That shows that everybody can compete. So it's not what it was when it was Florida and Alabama and Tennessee in the late 90s and early 2000s.
Vanderbilt. Well, like you said, Indiana is absolutely the sign of the times example, but I'd go right after that too. Vanderbilt just went 10-2, had the Heisman runner-up, and is – looking and just stole the top quarterback recruit per some, a 5-star recruit from Georgia. Like these are things that in your entire career of covering Vanderbilt, none of these things are remotely like they're laughable to mention. Where are you with Clark Lee, Vanderbilt, and that program at this point? Post Diego Pavia, which of course people are rightfully pointing out, can you keep it? Can you continue to win and maintain momentum without arguably the greatest player in program history?
And we have to see this. I mean, they're going to have media day on Tuesday, and this is the big challenge now for Clark Lee, who knows well Vanderbilt's history, having played here and being an alum and a Nashville native. So he knows the challenge he has, but the resources that are available were never available to a Vanderbilt coach before. And, we the changes in that stadium alone, yes, it's the SEC's smallest, but it's nice now. It's more – they've taken what they have and they have absolutely maximized it.
Yeah, it's so different.
It is. And, I mean, I remember the years back in the 90s when they put up a little video board and a Florida beat writer says, I've got a bigger flat screen in my living room than that thing. So
Who said this? Pat Dooley?
I don't know if it was Pat or somebody, but it was down to my right. It was one of the Florida guys. But it was just, it's a line that has obviously stuck. And it was a laugh out loud moment because it was so true. I don't know who could see that without their binoculars. So, but that's the thing. The pieces and what they've done in the portal, NIL money in the portal is the evening of sports in the college ranks. And, Clark Lee is a smart guy. People tend to forget that he was defensive coordinator at Notre Dame. If he had maybe stuck around there, might he be the coach there with the Fighting Irish? So, but the challenge, he has to show that there is life after Diego Pavia.
Well, and look, I think Clark Lee, I think, has demonstrated what he is as a coach. And also, you talk about Heupel adapting, Clark Lee pivoting the way he did, taking a risk, and really seeing something he liked and saying, let's do that here. I think Jerry Kill also deserves a lot of credit for helping him with a lot of the stuff that you have to handle as a coach. The great thing for Vanderbilt, of course, is I think Clark Lee, if Clark Lee is not a Nashville guy who is a Vanderbilt guy who loves it here and loves it there, then he's like he's a prime candidate to get plucked by someone else, right? But I think there's a great chance that he is here for a long, long time.
Agreed.
And however, well, I say that, but coaches in this era with roster etch-a-sketch, it's hard to stay that long anywhere, right?
Not for long doesn't apply just to the NFL anymore.
That's
and
right.
And you're absolutely right. That pivot and gamble, it seems obvious now in hindsight, but the huge gamble going and getting – they're getting the coordinator and the coach from what? New Mexico State?
New Mexico State.
Yeah. And it's
okay,
like
sure.
It was stunning. And trust me, I covered Jerry DiNardo when going 5-6 at Vanderbilt got him the LSU job.
Yeah, right. Yeah. How about the Vanderbilt coaches, like you said, with the AP, like you guys have rules, for example, like if a team is ranked or not, right? For people who don't know, like if you're covering a home game if a team is ranked or if they're playing a ranked team, but if not,
well, in football,
not necessarily.
No, in football, I've got somebody there. It might not be me. If it's ranked, then I try to be there at all costs.
If there's a rank, if either side is a ranked team,
correct. Yeah. And before the win against Alabama, you know they were 0-60 against AP top 5 teams, and I can't tell you how many. If I had a nickel for every story, every word that I had written about Vanderbilt potentially winning, having to scrap and go, you know, I mean, I saw a backward punt against Georgia. I still don't understand how that happened. So it's just, but yes, Vanderbilt. I once told Jerry Stackhouse, you win, I'll be here, but I need you to be in the top 25 or playing a top 25 team for me to show up. And the thing I liked about Stack, he understood.
Oh, not only have you predicted the Titans to have a winning record this year, you have said a nice thing about Jerry Stackhouse. You're blazing trails here on the show today.
My interactions with Stack were always great.
Yeah, I enjoyed him too until he – then I didn't, but yeah. You know.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that was fun. So college sports, by the way, Teresa, we are looking at this legislation appears to be dead. Like, you know, there's some ACC presidents who don't like this limitation that you can only go up to 19 in the Big Ten and SEC. The SEC and Big Ten want it to be more of a hard cap. You know, on this legislation, which again, I look at this legislation and it's like, how are you going to truly, first of all, you are trying with, you know, national legislation to tell these programs exactly how much you can spend on your roster in a given year, which is just bizarre to me. But of course they want a harder cap on this, right? So it appears it's not going to happen. I never thought it was going to, it's the closest we've gotten, but, it appears to be dead.
How much
does this surprise you at all?
No. How much legislation has Congress actually passed in the last 2-3 years? And you know,
In anything.
And here they're trying to put the genie back in the bottle with college sports. And I saw on Monday Wisconsin spending like $25 million on their roster. And it's like, oh, that's sweet. If you're competing for a college football playoff spot, $30 million a year. I mean, at some point we need a salary cap, I guess, in college sports. But, you know, Danny White, credit him. He has been a very early strong opponent of collective bargaining with the athletes.
He's pushing it.
That's the piece of the puzzle they keep ignoring.
Yeah, I mean, you can't – like, I don't know how they do it. I understand the complications. But if you're trying to cap things and you're not letting the laborers, and that's what they are, they are getting paid to play football, you don't let them have a say in it, then it's illegal. So, anyway, we can get into more. I do want to get in our future hour about what programs might win championships. I got more questions for you. I got a question on the Olympics for you. But coming up next, we have the Rex rant. And your Teresa tirade, you can chime in as well. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
We're just out here trying to cover your sports teams.
I like Creed. I like Nickelback.
I will get absolutely wrecked and be belligerent and scream at Scott Stapp if you'd like.
Rex Road.
Marlins, baseball, home run.
I'm just
going to cancel my athletic subscription because Sando's Tears isn't out yet. Am I a clown to you, Mike?
Do you really want to hurt me?
Do you think you have ownership of the word dookie?
Would you rather have foot pain, gout, or torn up stomach?
Farts.
And you're stealing dookie?
The explosive diarrhea virus could be worse than we thought.
You know who else doesn't know diddly? Me.
Woo! There's a mashup for Ian so far. My goodness. I said those words? Don't remember that. Welcome to the Rex Rant, served by the Wine Cellar in Hendersonville. Teresa, this is the, we've had a great show. We've had a lot of fun today, but, the highlight every day is letting Ian take our previous ridiculous words said in public and mash them together like that.
I didn't expect to hear explosive diarrhea this early, but.
Yeah. To be fair, as a journalist for the Associated Press, it has been a big story, that explosive diarrhea.
It's right? Kind of breaking out everywhere.
It is. I mean, do we have it under control, by the way? Like, is it explosive diarrhea? No.
Now, apparently, there's another outbreak, and they don't know what's causing it.
Are you kidding? The same thing? The
cyclospora, yes.
It's not the Taylor Farms lettuce?
Not that I saw last night, so.
This is another Taco Bell ingredient that they'll blame on. So, like, our.
It's not. And the thing is that Taylor Farms thing, they're everywhere. So it's like, ooh, okay.
Yeah, I know. I've actually. It's not good for me. I've been eating very few vegetables lately.
Same.
I'd like to get back to it, But, kind of laying off. All right, so college sports, I do want to – I got to hit this a little bit. We've talked about it before. Probably has been a rant too. But I just think there are two audio clips – and, Ian, you saw the one that's in the grid, right? Two audio clips.
They're not the same clip?
They're not the same clip.
Okay, I only have one of them. Hold on.
Okay. Well, so the one I emailed.
The one you emailed me.
That would, okay. We don't necessarily have to play Laura Rutledge. I can just paraphrase it. Laura Rutledge is great, by the way. I think she's
great.
She's excellent for ESPN and everything she hosts. But she was on Pat McAfee the other day, and it just talking about the SEC, and she's talking about like how, again, we're in talking season right now, Teresa, right? We're in talking season.
Hate talking season.
Yeah, and it's just the SEC is so weak. It's the decision by Greg Sankey to come with the, we're still the best, and for all these coaches to complain about the nine-game schedule, which hasn't happened. Laura Rutledge is talking to Pat McAfee, and she's talking about how exhausted and gassed they are because of their nine-game schedule. They've never played a nine-game schedule. So we're retroactive. Like, this is not reality. Now, they will, and I agree it'll be tough, but they all should do the same thing, right, to me. Like, you can say the Big Ten is not as strong top to bottom. I would agree with you. I don't know that we're talking like a Grand Canyon of difference there. The Big Ten, though, is definitely better at the top, and that's what matters, right? Is
scoreboard.
It not what matters?
National titles, scoreboard, baby. That's all that matters. That's all that people remember.
Right, and that's all the SEC was talking trash. And by the way, and Andy Staples brought this up, and it was a great point, Teresa, on his On Three podcast. You may remember this. I'm sure you do. Back when Florida beat Ohio State in the national title game. I forgot that it was right after this, but basically Jim Delaney put out like this statement about how the Big Ten cares about academics and the SEC. I mean, it was just this whole like excuse making, like, dude, it's all big time college football.
You guys are
all doing basically the same stuff. Don't give me this garbage. But that was the whole narrative from the big when they weren't winning, right? They had excuses. So it has come from the Big Ten before. I want to be fair here. But the SEC right now is so weak and pathetic with the way some of them are talking about this stuff. Meanwhile, I got to play this from the reigning national championship coach, Kurt Cignetti, from Big Ten Media Days this week.
Coach Nick Szabkowski from NSI. You mentioned the grind in your opening statement. Iowa, Penn State, they'll kind of speak for themselves. The Oregon game last year, regular season game last year, speaks for themselves. Do you look at that grind? You've done it now twice, getting to the postseason. Is that grind of the Big Ten season a net positive by the time late December, January comes around, or a net negative for where the team is at?
No, I think that's a loaded question. I think your job as a head coach and the assistants is to equip your roster, make it as strong as possible with adequate depth at every position throughout the team. You know, when you play that many games, you're going to get some guys dinged and injured. Things happen. Next man up mentality. The Big Ten is the best league in football, and a lot of really good football teams. It's hard to win on the road. Very physical football teams, very well coached. It definitely prepares you for the playoffs. There's no doubt about it. The numbers speak for themselves. I mean, we don't run a hype machine up here in the Midwest. We believe everything's earned, not given. And when we fall short, we say we fell short. We don't cry a river, whine, and complain. All right? And that's why we're the best.
Coach Ignetti, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
I mean, if there's, like, that's just a mic. I mean, I'm sorry, but that is just, that's an ultimate mic drop right there.
He should have walked out right after that.
Yeah, like, seriously, pick it up. I know it's he's not, like, holding a mic. It's, like, at a thing. But he should have, like, ripped it out of the thing and dropped it and then walked to the stage. I hope everybody in the SEC is listening to this. And, again, I'm not, like, plenty of people in the SEC are realistic about it. I'm like, yeah, man, like, the Big Ten's won 3 straight national championships. Like we got to get better. We need to come back and try to win. We need to get into the championship game. Oh, our grind is so hard. Look at our attendance. What? Just stop. Stop it.
Yes, all that matters is what you do on the field. And, you know, we were talking about Heupel earlier, and it's like, what are coaches doing to get their players faster, stronger, get in better players through the portal, recruiting? And you know, what coaches are you making changes? Defense sucked in Knoxville last year. They brought in Jim Knowles. You have to be adjusting because, you know, nobody's standing still. Nobody's – we just heard that. Nobody's feeling sorry for you. Who lifts the trophy in the end? And I'm sorry, Nick Saban ain't coming back to the SEC. So who got next?
That's right. There you go. And kudos to Cignetti for – and again, I mean, that was the last question. We almost got through that presser. Good job by that reporter. It was a loaded question. It was kind of like, you know, setting up a, hey, are you going to take this? Are you going to
take
this?
That was the news of the day, though.
Yeah.
That quote was thus.
I know, and it almost didn't happen. So, I mean, thank goodness for Kurt Cignetti and the powerhouse defending national champion Indiana Hoosiers, Teresa Walker. Like, if I told you that in 1989, that we'd be talking about that ever.
No. I mean, literally, when they said, oh, you've got to schedule a game against the Power Four, there was a rush to get Indiana on the schedule because it was seen as an easy win. Not anymore.
Losingest team in college football history when Kurt Cignetti took over the program 2 years ago. Pretty amazing stuff. All right, we come back. We will have Teron Davenport get back into the Titans with Teresa Walker, Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5 The Game.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.